Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, as I share now this morning, as we get back into the Word of God, and Father, we don't live by just natural means, but Father, we also live by every word that has proceeded out of your mouth. Father, this morning, guide my lips and direct my tongue in such a way that your people will not only be able to receive it, but they'll be blessed by it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Huh? Yeah. Oh, do you want me to do it ahead of time and stuff? Okay, Father's stand up. Today is Father's Day. I was going to do it at the end, but I'll do it now. That's all right. Well, hello, fathers. You got kids? From this day forward, I declare that you're going to be the best fathers ever. We forget about the past and we look forward to the future. Amen. And so we have a little gift that we want to give all you fathers. Praise God. So go ahead and pat. Thank you for being my church father. Happy Father's Day. Boy, I'll tell you what, that coffee bar is going to be busy. Hallelujah. Well, happy Father's Day, Father. That's why we don't have a service tonight, so that you can have the evening with your family. Praise God. And you women, take care of them fathers. Really feed them good. Give them whatever they want. Well, within the perimeters of the Lord. Hallelujah. So happy Father's Day. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go to verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master's use, prepared for every good work. Now, when we read this verse, the first thing we want to do is say, what are we supposed to cleanse ourselves from so that we will be a vessel of honor? Well, if you go backwards and go to about verse 14, it says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Well, today we're living in a time period where the church is looking more and more like the world. And I think that we need to be very careful that we are a good witness, making sure that we're being proper before Him in all that we say and do. You know, when you came into the kingdom of God, God has done some great things for you. How many of you can remember the day that you said, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life? And you came into the kingdom of God. There was a miraculous thing that God committed himself to you right away. And that is, he removed the very obstacle that would come between you and him. And that is a basis for sin. He judged it in the flesh so that he could participate with you through your spirit. And now all of mankind can come to God at will. because we had a perfect daysman or umpire. Job called it a daysman, but we call it an umpire, who could put one hand on God and one hand on man and bring the two impossibilities together. I don't know about you, but yes, I'm disturbed about the signs of the time that we're living in. But even though I'm disturbed about the system that's going on, I still have a joy in my heart and a freedom to know that I have a city of refuge, a God that cannot be moved, and that I thank Him every day that I'm called an ambassador for Him. But I know that as He takes care of me in this time period, I don't care what anybody else says. I have someone who could connect me with the kingdom of heaven, and His name is Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And as long as I have Him, I have the mind of Christ. And see, that's what you and I inherit when we become born again. We inherit the mind of God. Isn't that great news? So no matter what goes on, we have access to the mind of God. I was watching on some of the other channels I don't usually go to at all. I just can't stand them. But CNN and Fox News Channel and the other one, what's the other one? I don't know, these news channels and Hannity Kennedy or whatever his name is and all of them. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to all these guys and it amazes me how much they think they really understand what's going on and have no concept whatsoever of what is going on, because you have to see it beneath the surface for what it really is. And that is, the kingdom of darkness is in opposition to the kingdom of light. You know, Jonathan, when he went to interview the shepherds after that faithful event that took place on the hillside, when the whole city lit up, it caused quite a stir. And Jonathan, when he went and interviewed a lot of the shepherds on the hillside to make a report back to the Sanhedrin, he made the statement about the Old Testament prophets called the seers. They were the ones who saw into the realm of the spirit. They had the ability to separate themselves from their physical being and put their soul over into the hands of the living God for the correct insight. And that's why in the Old Testament, a prophet or a seer brought you the Word of God, because they had the mind of God. Today, I don't care what anybody says on the news channel or whatever these channels are that they declare that they know what's going on. I don't care what Glenn Beck says or anybody else. If they don't have the Holy Spirit giving them the information, then they don't even qualify to even bring a prophetic news information to us, because they don't know how to tap into the mind of God and in the facts of what's really going on. How many of you would trust God sitting on the throne knowing everything that's going on and make sure you and I got the right information, and not from a man that doesn't know how, or any man that does not know how to tap into the mind of God? You know, you have to have the Holy Spirit, especially in this day and age. You have to have respect for the Holy Spirit and the anointing that takes place in our heart, in our availability to know the mind of God. And so let's look at some scriptures that will back up what I'm saying. First of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's turn there. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this in verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. In other words, no one can figure out the spiritual man. He says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Now, who has the kind of insight that they could give God some information? But I like what it says. But we have But we have. But we have the mind of Christ. Ooh, I like that. You know what he's referring to there? When he says, but we have the mind of Christ, it means that he brought us into the kingdom in such a way that we'd be able to discern and hear his voice. Because he says, my people, hear my voice. They know what I say, and they follow me. And a stranger they will not follow. Praise God. Over there in 1 John, it's very interesting how people interpret that book. But that whole book centers itself around the fact that there's an inward anointing that is in every one of our hearts to know the Spirit of truth. Matter of fact, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Let's go there real quick like. Hallelujah. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And what I'm getting at is the time period that we're living in. It's very interesting how an unbeliever who doesn't know anything about church looks at the church today in the form that we present it mostly on television. How many of you know that when our country moved to make homosexuality a part of our society, we are accepting it now? How many of you know that right away on television, I don't know if any of you saw it, a lot of priests got on there and validated homosexuality. And if you're talking to an unbeliever and you ask him what he thinks about it and you tell him you're against it as a believer, you know what they do? They look at you and say, well, why did you guys show on TV that you're in agreement with it? Well, why did you guys get on television and say we're in agreement? See, they don't know the difference between a church that is not of God and a church that is of God. Are you following me? And so these ministers, they get on TV and they say, this is real love, that we accept the homosexuals. We don't reject them. Well, people, see, that is a sign that our society is degrading itself. It is, and it has nothing to do with us hating the homosexual. Are you following me? I don't hate anybody. But I do hate a person who sides with sin and then glorifies the fact that it is an unfavorable love that you give to somebody. The issue of sin in their life and validate it and say it's okay. You know, where do we stop to be transformed into His image? Has our God been transformed into someone who has made us go after the same sex when the Word of God is very clear that God gave them up to that kind of reprobate mind because they didn't know how to separate themselves from it? It isn't the person, it's the sin. And Satan operates in sin. That's his whole goal, is to destroy people with the very nature that he got into the world for men to become a prisoner of. And it saddens your heart when you see people lose their life and they spent their whole life on flesh and never given Jesus the opportunity to come into their heart and life. People, to me, that is the most saddest thing that I can imagine. That is a horror to me, is the fact that you will go off into eternity in damnation and never, ever had the opportunity to come into the real truth of what life is really all about. Life isn't just about this existence only. Life also involves eternity. It involves you as a being living eternally. You're an eternal being, you say. And yet, a lot of people don't understand that concept. You ask somebody that has never even been in church, never even thought about it or anything, and you ask them what they think about life, and in the end, the thing that they think about is, well, when I'm dead, When I'm gone, that's it. I'm just like an animal. I'm gone out of here. And that's not true at all. Because nothing would be more eye-opening than the fact that if you stepped out of this body and found yourself still very much alive, boy, then you know that there's something that exists beyond this natural realm. I'll never forget when I was at the fitness center and sitting in this sauna room, and I was sharing my testimony to a believer about an out-of-body experience that I had, and I was just sharing it with him, and everybody left, and this guy sat there for the longest time, and he looked at me and he says, "You're one of them, aren't you?" And I says, "One of what?" "You're one of them people that knows about life after death." And I said, "Well, yeah, I guess you could say so." And he goes, "Well, I'll tell you what." He says, "I tried to convince my wife when I died on the operating table that I stepped out of my body and that I was sitting there and watching all the doctors work on me." And he said, "I was sitting there and I had hands. I had a body." And he said, "All of a sudden, they started jumping my heart." And he says, and it was like a vacuum. I was sucked back into my body. And I came back to life. And he said, when I got out of the hospital, he says, "I went and told my wife that." And she said, "You're nuts. You're absolutely crazy. What are you talking about, stepping out of your body?" He says, "That's true." Well, he never met anybody that had that kind of experience. So when I was telling him, he says, "You're one of them. You had that same experience." And I says, "Yeah." I says, "There is life after death." And so from that moment on, I tried to witness to him. Finally, he disappeared for a long time. He came back to the fitness center. He was a different guy. And he says, "I know what you were trying to do." Someone led him to the Lord. And he figured it out where I was. I didn't get the opportunity to. I wish I had. But he said, "Now you're one of them." And I said, "Now you got it right." So there is life after death, whether we realize it or not. When we step out of this body, whatever we've given our soul to and we purposed in eternity, that's where we're going to go. You're not going to go where God is if you don't want to be there. That just period over and out, because God never. But God's will is for everyone to get saved, every person. But with that thought in mind, thinking about eternity and how men live forever, have you noticed in 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's go back there. And, well, wait a minute, I want to finish in 1 John here. He says you have an anointing. And you know all things. Actually, he says, and you have the ability, it'd be better translated, and you have the ability to know what truth really is. The translators worded it that way. It's a little confusing. But anyway, he goes on and he tells us, let's go to verse 27. He says, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him." And so he's saying we've got to abide in him. Now, when I say abide in him, a lot of people don't understand what that word means. You know, 1 John, a little 5-chapter book, it's very interesting how out of that little small book, it is more repetitive in words than any other book of the Bible. Abide, abideth, abiding. No, knowing. See, repetitive all the time. And the reason one is because false teachers and false prophets started to enter in and to dismantle and lead God's people astray. And these false teachers and false prophets, they were receiving Christ, but they were not receiving according to the knowledge that had been imparted to them by the who? The Holy Spirit. And so, John, beloved, said, "Do you know that it is the last hour? and how he brought out that it was the last hour, he was referring to his life. He's saying, I'm the last living eyewitness of my generation concerning the life that walked and talked on planet Earth with man. I know what that life's about. I know what he would say. I know what he would do. And you've got these people coming in, and they're giving a false impersonation of the Son of the Heavenly Father, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he says, so they're coming in, and they're trying to lead you astray, and you don't need these people teaching you anything. He said, what you have to do is you have to look to the one who conceived in the womb of Mary. His name is Holy Spirit. The water, the blood, and the Spirit. These three have agreed in one. Because if the Holy Spirit is the one that conceived in the womb of Mary to bring forth Christ, who would be better to reveal Christ to you than the one who conceived in the womb of Mary to bring him to life? Now, why am I bringing this all up on Father's Day? Because you and I have a task, fathers, a big task. Even though you might be sitting there and saying, well, I never raised my kids right. They all kind of went haywire. I wound them up and I set them down and I expect them to tick off in one direction and went every other way. But what I plan, that doesn't mean that as long as you're breathing and walking on planet Earth, that doesn't mean that you have been denied your ability to be a person of God, a true witness of your family, a man who will seek after the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. That is worth it all. You know, your kids may have thought that you hadn't been the person that you are. But children know change. Children can see change. And you can go right in the midst of change in your life and be the witness you're supposed to be. And in the long run, you're still going back to your children and said, I might have raised you wrong, but I got news for you. I got it right now. This is what the true image of God is. This is how God walks and talks and acts. Look at me. You know, Paul always said, follow me as I followed Christ. That means that Paul was happy within his walk with the Lord because he was doing the things that God expected him to do. Paul was a man of vision. He wasn't a man of forecast. He was a man of vision. And he walked and talked and he was solid in God. You know, we as pastors, it breaks our heart when it's not up to us to determine whether two people should get married or hook up together. Even with us giving them warning signs, we still get saddened at the outcome of some of the relationships that happen. And we know more than anybody else that we're responsible for laying hands on them and saying, you know, Heavenly Father, bless this marriage. Bless the pledges that they make to each other. Father, may this covenant relationship last forever. And you see it deteriorating quicker and quicker. You know what? I heard a good report just here recently. I believe this report. I heard a minister on TV say that Christians have outdone unbelievers in divorces. And I decided to really try and check that out. That is real frustrating. And finally I ran across, I was reading one of this recent book, and I can't remember which book it was, but I read there how this particular individual is really big in research. And he followed up on the research of that and found it to be a lie. Christians are not leading unbelievers in divorces. It's just the opposite. And I said, you know what? I believe that report. I don't believe that Christians are leading the sinners in divorce. I don't want to believe that anymore. I want to believe the good report. Amen. Because I want to believe that the kingdom of God is more valid and more stronger than the kingdom of darkness. I know that the kingdom of darkness can operate against us, but I don't like these negative reports. It bothers me. And I'd made a decision. I like that report. I do believe that even though there's a lot of divorces happening in Christian homes, I don't believe we're heading up the unbeliever. Don't tell me that trash. I don't believe it anymore. I just fed up of hearing it. But I believe more than ever that the reason that you do have a high rate of divorces in churches is because God's people do not know how to attain to the anointing that God puts in our life. You know, if you learn to respect the anointing of God in people, in their life, then you can get something from the kingdom of God. But if you don't learn how to respect that anointing, you can't get anywhere out of the kingdom of God, any value at all. You know, Saul, a lot of people don't read the church history of the election of Saul. But did you know that on four occasions, when I read that, I couldn't believe it. I kept reading it. Remember with John, when I kept reading how Saul was elected? Did you know that the prophet Samuel was told by God they want a king? And he says, I'm going to reveal to you what kind of man they're going to choose. And I want you to tell the people. So he picks Saul, and then he tells the people what kind of guy he picks. They pick, not God. They pick. And God said, okay, if they want him, here's what he's going to be like. Well, four times he told them what Saul was going to be like. Four times. Even in the inauguration, he says, this is what the prophet, this is the kind of guy that's going to lead you. Oh, okay. We want him. And the people wanted him. I believe the reason the people wanted him is because he is acting a lot like them. And of course the outcome. But who took his place? Someone that could respect the anointing of God. Someone knew that God's anointing on him would work. And his name was David. And he's on the backside of the desert and he's having an experience with the anointing of God. He's connecting with God. And while the world is sitting there running after a nutcase, David is proving himself to be the man that he's supposed to be. And David was a man after God's own heart. That's the kind of guy you want leading you. Amen. That's the kind of guy you want in your home, ladies. You want somebody who can respect the anointing of God. And of course, it happened. The minute the nation of Israel got in conflict with the Philistines, those giants, you know, that were, 20, 25 feet high? That's a pretty big guy. Starting to deriding the army of the living God. Here you are in the backside of the desert proving the anointing of God on you is greater than anything. And you sit there and you hear this guy blab-mouthing, come on, you lousy bunch of people, take me on. I'll take you on and I'll take your head off and all that. And so David, what did David do? Hey, what's wrong with you guys? Hey, hasn't anybody here got a cause to do something with that big mouth? Did you hear what he said? So nobody's going to do nothing. So David makes a big issue out of it. What's wrong with you, bunch of cowards? Ain't you got a name for yourself? I mean, we're serving the living God. And he's defying the armies of the living God. What's the matter with you guys? What'd you do? Leave your armor at home? Oh, you can have Saul's armor. They suit up Saul's armor. Didn't fit him. Why? Saul's armor wasn't under the anointing of God. Hallelujah. The anointing of God was in his sling. The anointing of God was in his heart. The anointing of God was what was proven in his heart as a man of God. And what did he do? He started after and he stopped in the middle of the stream. And all these sermons, you know, he picked up five sermons in case he missed one. And you got to read your Bible. It says he wasn't going after the big mouth. He was going after the big mouth and the army. And he figured five stones would be a good start. Buried that stone right in his head. Took on the impossible. Well, I'll tell you what, the anointing guy hasn't changed today. You men, you can take on the impossible. The first thing you have to conquer, though, is the giant within yourself. If you can conquer within yourself, bring yourself under self-control. Oh man, what a testimony you're going to be. Anything that faces you that is beyond yourself, you can handle it because why? You have the anointing of God upon your life. And as long as the anointing of God is upon you, hey, it don't matter what comes at you as a man. If you've conquered you, then you can conquer anything else that comes against you. Hallelujah. Praise God. But it takes being a man of God. Hallelujah. It takes being the example that we're supposed to be. Praise God. You want your kids to honor and respect you because you do follow Him. And I'm telling you, I don't know whether you guys picked it up or not lately. They finally are starting to take their eyes off of the handgun, and they're starting to put their eyes on the mind. There's something wrong with our society. There's something wrong with the mind of people. When did they finally get... I saw a cartoon once. These two robbers were in this alley, hiding around the corner, and this mob was lynching a handgun. Lynching a handgun. And the one robber says to the other, "Thank God they're trying to hang the gun rather than us." Now, what's happening? A law just passed in our state, that if you're involved in any domestic violence or had been involved in domestic violence, you lose your access to guns. It goes to show you they don't know how to deal with a mind that goes wacko. But you know, that mind that went wacko started in a family unit. Something happened to the children. Something was disconnected with the parents and the child, because they evidently didn't know what was going on in his thinking. We're living in a society today that our society really doesn't have time for its children because they're too busy texting. You can't even talk to people. That's why if you come to my house and you bring your phone, you better leave it in your pocket, because you're not going to sit there and fellowship with me and look at a phone. That is a height of disrespect. And when you go to carry on a conversation with somebody, turn the phone off, put it in your pocket and look at them. And then read my lips. Don't. I'll text you. Can you imagine your friends coming to your house and you don't even communicate? You sit and text each other. There are people that do that. That's what I call nuts. Try that with God. I don't know how to talk to him, but I'll text him. Believe me, it'll be a one-way conversation. You to him and nothing back. God's not interested in your texting. Hallelujah. And these smartphones are the dumbest phones in the world. I'm sorry. They don't even function right. You're supposed to tap it twice. I hit it twice when the phone, and the sucker doesn't move. I hit it again. Oh, there. You can't even answer your phone with one of them smartphones. Give me my dumb phone back. I had to push a button. Sue knows what I'm talking about. She said, "You bought me the dumbest phone I've ever had. You bought me a dumb phone." Because it had a mind of its own. My gosh. You know, I left my phone at home a couple times. How many of you ever left your phone at home? I couldn't believe the way I was acting. I've lost God. Boy, the society we're living in. Now, let's go back before I lose it here. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. Praise God. Chapter 2. As he says, "Therefore, in a great house, if a man is a vessel found to honor, sanctified and useful for the master and prepared for every good work, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Oh, what an honor. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they gender strife. How many of you have ever been around people and you're doing just fine? You get around certain people and all they do is murmur and complain and start griping about how things are done. Have you ever been around people like that? You know, if you listen to them, they'll put you on a downer. Next thing you know, you begin to wonder if you're all right. See, these are the type of people you need to avoid. And a lot of times these type of people, you don't find them in church really paying attention. They're not plugged into the Word of God. They're going just by the senses. They're called natural, brutish people. And all they can do is murmur and complain. And he says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition. The word teach here, able to teach, when I saw that in the Greek, I was a little surprised because it's not the same word that you would use to for a person who's teaching and training someone. This particular word here literally means to be teachable. And so really it would be better to say, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to be teachable. He's patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. So if a person, he's not saying every one of us have to teach somebody. He's saying we all should be teachable. Are you following me? We should all have an open heart towards what is right from what is wrong. And he says, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, that they may return to the soberness out of the snare of the devil. Now let me ask you something. Is he talking about church people here, or is he talking about people of the world? You know he's talking about church people. In a great house, that's the house of God. He's not talking about the world. And so when you go to chapter 3, a lot of believers who believe in eternal security will not go to this passage and admit that these are a reference to people in a church setting in the last of the last days. Because you see, Timothy, he made a call on Paul and said, help, Paul, I don't know how to start a church. And so 1 Timothy, he goes into detail how to establish a church. And gets it all in order. But 2 Timothy is where Timothy makes an appeal to Paul and says, Paul, my church is falling apart. What can I do? And the first thing that Paul does with Timothy is he says, how come you haven't been praying? What about the Holy Ghost? Because the Holy Ghost will keep you on the cutting edge of everything. And that's the first thing he went to is, you need to stir up the gift that is in you. He wasn't talking about the ministry gift. He was talking about the Holy Ghost there. Stir him up. Get him going on the inside of you. Praise God. You know? But he gets to the place where you think things are bad now, Timothy. You just ought to be thankful you're not pastoring in the last of the last days. When I caught that revelation, I went to the Lord and said, thanks a lot, Lord. I'd have much rather been in Timothy's place and have Timothy here because of these people. But know this, that in the last days, that word last days is where we get eschatology. It means the study of the last days. And he says perilous times will come. The word perilous times is very interesting because this is saying that it is a time period where men's minds will begin to fail them because the way that they process the issue of their mind cannot find a way out. So you're seeing it happen today with young people, especially young people. They want to take their life, and so they want to take everybody else with them, or as many as they can with them. People, that is a coward's way out. There was a time when you would never go after an unarmed man with an arm or a weapon. Nowadays, our society doesn't care. They would prefer to go after people who have no way of protecting themselves so that they can take them out right along with taking themselves out. See, they don't have no concern. This is the most highly self-centered, disruptive mind that you could have walking on planet Earth. Can you imagine if if I took a handgun and I laid it on the table here, there'd be a lot of you who wouldn't even want to even look at it or be around it. But there are people walking around, sitting, could be someone sitting right, well, I shouldn't say in church, sitting right next to me. That would not be a good thing. Oh, are you okay in your mind? But that's the most dangerous thing, is not knowing where people's mind are. You and I as parents, especially you husbands, you have a right to know what's going on in your children's thinking. You have a right to bond to them and be up front right away and to be honest and say, what are you thinking? Let me into your heart and life. And more and more you're finding homes having children with no dual parents. You know, single unit homes, single ladies raising children or single men raising children, and they don't have a solid unit to look to. How many of you know that can really harm a person's mind when they're not brought up in a home where the home is together? See, I was raised that way. I was raised without a daddy. I was raised by my grandpa as my example when I was a young man. My dad, he lived in Alaska. He was a bush pilot up there. And so I liked my dad. I liked him even towards the end. Sue really liked my dad a lot. He was a very interesting guy. Told a lot of stories. But when I was young, he put some seeds in me that was not good. And it did affect me mentally. It affected our whole family mentally. And so you can see what these kids are going through today. People, how important it is for you as a daddy to know what's going on in the mind of your children and help them any way that you possibly can. Especially with the way things are going, drugs and the whole issue, the influence. I mean, our society is so disruptive with its influence that the movies today, it's getting to the point, if you've gone and seen one, you've seen them all because they're so violent. They're filled with violence and everything is all the same. It gets monotonous after a while. Then comes along a decent movie that has something to do with integrity of the heart and something. Nobody really is all that interested. They'd rather go and shoot them and blow them up things, you know. And you see these minds, you know, this last shooter said he idolized Columbine killing. Well, that's a stronghold in your thinking. That's demonic. He travels on your mind. Satan travels on the mind. And so you and I as parents and as fathers, we need to really take a hard look at ourselves and make sure that we're plugged in to our children and where they're at as fathers, and make sure that we're plugged into the kingdom of God and that we are the example that we're supposed to be. And the only way to do that is Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is so important. It's an important part of our life. I know the flesh don't like it. My flesh hates it. I mean, I've never woke up in the morning. Well, I have, but I've never woke up in the morning where my flesh said, let's go pray. Never. I had to wake up with that spiritual consciousness to do that. To pray. My flesh ain't going to tell me to pray. He did it first. He thought it was a great idea. But when you get out there in the backside of the wilderness there and start praying in tongues, eventually your flesh gets the idea, who am I talking to? Because you don't know God. Your carnal mind knows about God, but don't know God. Is not connected to Him by a nature. And so that's the thing that we're always faced as a church. It's getting more and more that the church is not spiritualized. It's getting to the point where we're cloaked more in success in this natural life and make sure the outer man is very well taken care of. God doesn't have a problem with us taking care of ourselves physically. How many of you know that? Matter of fact, God give us, without even tithing 10%, God give us out of His Word in Matthew chapter 6, He tells us right away the first thing that you're promised as a believer is that you're going to be taken care of by God. And there are Christians that are not even being taken care of by God on that level. Because their faith is even beneath that. My gosh, we need to expand our thinking when it comes to our relationship with God, people. We need to plug into Him more, and the Holy Ghost is the man to do it. Talk to the Holy Spirit. He won't talk back to you until you talk to Him. He can't initiate a conversation on His own. You have to initiate it. Whatever he hears, that will just speak. He will not initiate it on his own. If you don't talk to the Holy Spirit, he won't talk back to you. If you talk to him, he will. Men, get tough. Be the person you're supposed to be. You know, it was very sad. I talked to a believer. Doesn't attend church anymore. He was hurt. Full of offenses. And what hurt him, the last hurt him, is, and I could tell his friend had wisdom. But he said, I know you after the flesh, but I don't know you after the spirit. And the guy said, what do you mean? He said, well, you're never at church. I don't have a church fellowship with you. I have a natural fellowship with you. And I accept you on that basis. But spiritually, I don't know where you're at. But naturally, I'm in fellowship with you. I love you. Not as a church family, but as a friend. He left church because of that. And his friend was right. You can have a relationship with your natural family, but not have one with your church. We need each other. We need to be family together. Amen. Men, we need to be men and women of God for our children today. Instead of criticizing all these people that take other people's lives, we need to stand up and be the salt that we are in the earth and cry out for more parents to get involved with their children in a way that they know what they're doing. How can you have a child with a computer at home, and then after he gets through killing a bunch of people, finally then go to the computer to find out, well, you're violating their rights? No, you're not. And they go in there and find that their children have been into how to make bombs, you know, the Claybo or whatever his name is, the ones that Columbine shooter, they found on their computers they were loaded with how to make bombs and how to buy certain weapons and all heads up and stuff that they could have avoided but anymore the parents are not connected with their children or what they're thinking. They'll take them to a football game or a sports game and leave them off. Now the parents don't even stay there. They go leave them there and then come back and pick them up later. That's never how we ever did our children. Well, they got into soccer and we were there on the sidelines, and you can look at it, a dad that was thrown out of the soccer game because I was a loudmouth against the ref's judgment. Remember they told me to leave the field. Thank God they didn't ask me what I did. But anyway. But we need men, women, plug into your children. Plug into anybody you're connected to. Plug into them and help them. Don't judge and criticize them, but help them. Speak as a man or woman of God. Speak into their hearts and lives. Even if they don't want to hear it, still speak it. That standard will stay there. You pray for them. If you're not talking to them, you won't pray for them. If you're talking to them, you'll pray for them. Did you guys get something here today? Stand up, everybody. Praise the Lord. Father, hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that, Father, that we as men and women of God, we're going to do our best to see to it that we connect with our children, our family, and that we can know what's thinking, what's going on. And Father, if they need help, we're there for them. Father, we don't want to wait until the crisis comes and then have a testimony of our children being a reproach to the entire world. We want to know ahead of time. We don't want to rely on psychiatrists dealing with our children. We want to rely on the Word of God to deal with our children through us. So, Father, cause us to rise up and be the men and women we're supposed to be. What you got, Mike? Yeah. Mike has something he wants to share with you fathers real quick. Time's up. No, come on back, Mike.
I wanted to share this with all the... Can I get your mic back? Unless you want to hold this one. That's the one that I wanted to share with all the fathers real quick. Father days mean something to me. And I know just all the rest of you guys who are fathers. But I was sitting down listening to him talk at the same time. I just felt like I just want to share those fathers. I just wrote to her. It says, Father, it says, to all the fathers who have come and gone, to all the fathers whom have come under the one. A father who is so kind, loves his family so much, it just blows your mind. He's the father of time and a great father of mine. He teaches me to be a father even in these times. To the father that has come and gone, to the fathers to whom our hearts have warmed, we thank God, the father of fathers, and to him it's no bother. Unto God to be every father, whom by love and grace is running his race. For God put fathers in his special place, made them head of the house with great love and strength. We are fathers of the earth, given unto the Father of the new birth. I thank God that he allows us to be a father of his earth. We may be fathers on this earth, but he is father of us all first. Amen.
That's good, Mike. Praise God. Well, we do have a hospitality room. You can go in there and meet with the staff and so forth and have any questions or anything. But let's do an altar call right now before we dismiss. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, I thank you so much for providing so much for us. Father, may we all take advantage of everything that you've given us to succeed. This morning, if there's anybody here that has never admitted Jesus as their Savior, we want to pray with them, Father, and lead them into that heavenly kingdom where they should succeed in life. Father, if they have been believers but have backslid, gotten away from you, want to restore that walk, Father, we want to be able to pray with them today. If they need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father, we want to pray with them. Father, we thank you so much for providing that wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. May he forever be ever strong in every one of us, in Jesus' name. If anybody needs healing for their body, Father, we provide it because you've given it to us in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if it fits you, salvation, restoration, baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing. Step out from where you're sitting and come forward right now. Anyone? Anyone? Hallelujah. Yes. Anyone else? Anyone else? We'll just take a few minutes. Hallelujah. We are living in a very needed world. Thank God we're here for answers. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't feel the Lord's through here. He's still dealing with somebody that needs to come forward. If you're here and you need to come forward, do that. Don't wait. Do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Jenny, are you here? Is Jenny here? She left. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel there's one more that has to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your wonderful people. as they've all come to church this morning, I pray that what I shared out of my heart will mix to theirs. Father, may they be more plugged in to those around them. And Father, may they be bold at getting into their lives in such a way that they can help them in Jesus' name. Amen.